Good evening and welcome to Monday Night Playhouse on CBC Radio 2. I'm James Roy. Tonight we present Episode 6 in the comic series The Seven Deadly Sins. Written by playwright Greg Nelson, it's the story of a young minister and his quest to build a congregation in the small town Alberta Church. In tonight's episode, Reverend Kevin is really happy about his relationship with Michelle, the graduate student from Calgary. But as the romance is burgeoning, the size of Kevin's congregation remains at a standstill. With a grand total of 4 people present last Sunday, Kevin's got to come up with a plan, and fast. Here now is Pride, Episode 6 of The Seven Deadly Sins by Greg Nelson.
I'm beginning to like this place, Dudley, Alberta, heart of the southeast corner, a region populated by a couple of dozen ranchers and several billion cows. I've been the new minister at Dudley Church now for almost 2 months, and I have to admit, the place is growing on me. I mean, yes, it's true that I've met with almost total failure, that no one is actually attending the church, but I think that's going to change any day now, really. I'm very optimistic, because, for example, this morning, I'm in the church office, right, with Michelle, and I'm looking through some of the old filing cabinets. Verna, the church organist, is practicing in the sanctuary, and Harold, the caretaker, is up on the roof, fixing something. Michelle is my, girlfriend. She's from Calgary, but she's staying here, living with me in the manse, doing research. It's a bit of a scandal. We're living in sin, so to speak. She's looking for the key to this old steamer trunk we found in the basement.
Gotta be here somewhere.
Did you look in the desk?
Yep, nothing. Maybe there's a secret compartment somewhere. You know, behind the walls or under the floorboards.
The steamer trunk belonged, we think, to Archibald Dudley, the founding reverend, the local legend, the man who built the church and the town almost 100 years ago. He was incredibly rich and incredibly powerful. And Michelle thinks that she may be his great-granddaughter and only surviving heir, which is why she's determined to get inside the trunk.
Hey, does that sound hollow to you?
Meanwhile, I'm looking at old church documents from back in the 20s when Archibald Dudley was at the height of his power. Hey, look at this. Weekly attendance, March 6th, 1921, 490. March 13th, 497. March 20th, 512.
You're kidding.
That's got to be like 90% of the town. I mean, I'd be happy with 5 people, 4 even. What was it about this guy?
People used to go to church.
Maybe I have to be more like him.
Which means what?
I don't know. Good? Honest? Upright?
Sounds far-fetched.
Oh, my God. Oh.
What?
I think I found his sermons.
Really?
Listen to this. Speak not of the sins of others. Speak only of your own transgressions.
Well, let me see.
For they are what leave you in darkness. They are what fill you with fear.
Not bad.
That must be why people came to church, to hear him preach.
There's dozens of them in here.
Hello, Dudley Church.
It's Debbie.
Debbie, hi. It's my supervisor.
How are things going? Have you made any progress?
Oh, absolutely.
So, how many people?
People?
Yes.
You mean in terms of, like, numbers? Or,
right.
I think it's really starting to build. It's, you know, there's a sense of momentum.
How many, Kevin?
3.
3?
Yeah, but then there's the organist, Verna, and the Harold, and...
Kevin, you've been there almost 2 months.
I know.
It's not working.
Huh?
You better come back. I've got a great little church in Manitoba for
you. No, wait. Give me one more week. I promise. By next Sunday, I'll have 40 people, at least.
One more week, that's it.
I guarantee it.
Bye, Kevin.
Where are you going to get 40 people?
Too optimistic?
Are you kidding?
Did I hear the phone?
Hi, Verna.
Kevin, it's impossible.
What's wrong?
They want to close the church.
They do?
We have to get 40 people by Sunday.
Jeez, Reverend, that's a little optimistic, don't you think?
Look, we still have a week. We can do this. We it's time for desperate measures.
Like what?
Well, I'm working on that. I mean, if they could just hear me preach, they'd come swarming in. I'm as good a preacher as Dudley was. I know I am. I'm probably better.
And you're modest, too.
Verna, you know this town. Is there anyone you can think of, anyone at all that, you know, that we're missing?
Oh!
What?
I just had a thought.
What is it?
I can't tell you.
Verna.
Harold made me promise.
Verna, they're going to close the church.
This is no time for scruples.
But it was a promise.
Fine.
Where are you going?
Harold's on the roof. I'll ask him myself.
All right, okay, wait up!
We gather at the bottom of Harold's ladder. I tell him about the phone call.
Can they just do that?
We have to get 40 people.
By next Sunday.
Isn't that a little optimistic?
I was wondering if they should go talk to Annie, Harold. It's time for desperate measures.
I've never seen anyone move so fast. Harold literally runs down the ladder.
What was that, Verna?
I know you said not to mention her.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Remember Annie?
I don't know any Annie.
Well, sure you do, Harold. Annie. Queer old Annie up the valley.
Oh, Annie.
Annie!
Oh, Annie. Yeah. Right. Oh, you stay away from her, Reverend. She's crazy. She's a real loon. Nutty as a fruitcake.
We don't have a choice.
She's our last chance.
She can't be that bad.
I don't think you understand me, Reverend. I want you to promise.
Look.
No. You look, Reverend. You look, okay? You look. You stay away from Annie.
Harold?
I'm serious.
All right. Geez, Harold, take it easy.
Promise me.
I promise.
Promise on the Bible.
I promise on the Bible. Sheesh.
Verna, what'd I tell you?
I know.
I told you about Annie.
But Harold...
No, buts. Annie's out of bounds. That's all there's to it.
And with that, he stomps back up the ladder.
What the heck?
Verna, what is going on?
I knew this was a bad idea.
We decide to go for coffee, talk things over. The Dudley Cafe, when we get there, is packed. We take the last table. Look at all these people.
Bizarre. It's always like this in the mornings.
So, Verna, who is this Annie?
All I know is she lives alone on this huge ranch up the valley. Been there her whole life. Rumor is she's crazy as a coot and rich as an uncle. And apparently she's dangerous.
Dangerous?
Has a reputation for shooting at people. All the old-timers are spooked by her. You can't even mention her name in this town.
Interesting.
I can't get over all these people. I mean, why can't they come to church? There has to be at least 40 people here.
Well, you can always go to them, Reverend.
What do you mean?
But come to your sermon here. Hey, that's not a bad idea.
You're right, it isn't.
You could come preach in the cafe.
And then they'll know how good I am.
And the church will be full on Sunday.
You're kidding, right?
I'll do it tomorrow morning. Verna, you are a genius.
Why didn't we think of this sooner?
I have to go. You stay here, enjoy your coffee. I have a sermon to write.
Michelle catches up to me out on the street.
Kevin, wait! Just a second.
Sorry, I don't mean to be rude.
I want to go see Annie. I think she might be important.
What? No, listen, we don't need her.
No, I think
this cafe thing is perfect. God, it's so simple. You know what? I'm not going to wear my robes because the context would be I would look stupid, right?
Kevin.
I'm going to wear my jeans and a tractor cap.
Kevin.
I am going to wow them. I'm serious. They will not know what hit them.
Would you shut up for a second?
What?
Look. Verna said that this Annie was A, rich, and B, nobody likes her.
She didn't say...
Just listen. So why don't they like her? Because maybe she knows things. Secrets.
You're making this up. Look, I told you, we don't need her.
This isn't actually about you, Kevin, or your church. I want some information. That's why I'm down here. I mean, who knows what she knows? It could be a lot, a whole lot. She could have the key to the trunk.
I thought it was because of me.
What?
That you were down here.
I'm going up the valley. Tonight. If you want to come, great. It's up to you.
Of course, when she puts it that way, what choice do I have?
Oh.
Taking Berna's warning to heart, we decide to wait till it's dark. Annie's ranch is down at the end of, well, you could hardly call it a road, more like a dirt track, all overgrown. There's a gate, but it's locked up tight. We realize we're going to have to walk in, which means crossing the barbed wire fence.
Ow!
Sorry.
Here, I'll push down on...
Careful!
Oh, sorry.
Ow!
Sorry.
Okay, good.
Look, there's a light. Come on.
Do you really think this is a good idea? Because, I mean, now we're actually breaking the law.
Kevin, relax.
I mean, what if somebody sees us? We should have hidden the car.
How do you hide a car?
I don't know. You cover it up with branches or something.
Shh. Listen. That must be her. Come on.
Hey, Michelle, wait up.
We crouch in the bushes near the house. Annie is sitting on her porch in a rocking chair.
I think we should just go right up and introduce ourselves.
Really?
How dangerous can she be? She looks about 90.
Maybe she's got a big, vicious dog.
She'll probably welcome the company. She must be lonely out here. I mean, the worst she could do is tell us to leave.
Wait, she's moving. She's going inside. Now what?
Come on, let's go.
Huh? Michelle leads the way, up the drive and onto Annie's porch. What are you doing?
I want to get a look through the window. See? There she is.
Careful, she'll see you.
She's still singing.
We can just see the top of her head. Her house is crammed full of... It's hard to tell if they're antiques or just a lot of junk. What's that over there on the table?
It looks like some kind of old record player.
There's some bagpipes.
Where?
In the corner.
Oh, my God.
What?
Look, over there. She's got a steamer trunk.
Where?
Under the window. It's identical to ours.
Hey, yeah.
I knew it. I'm going to knock on the door.
Wait, hang on a second.
Hello, Mrs. What's her last name?
I have no idea.
Hello, Annie?
What do you want?
We'd like to talk to you, just for a minute.
Go away.
Say something.
Hi, Annie. My name's Reverend Dershkowski. I'm from the church in Dudley. We'd like to talk to you about... About what?
Archibald Dudley.
About Archibald Dudley.
And the trunk.
And about this old trunk we found in the manse. We couldn't help noticing that you've got one, too. And we were wondering that maybe...
Suddenly, Annie is standing there. She's about 5 feet tall with long white hair and bare feet. And she's pointing a shotgun directly at us.
I said, go away!
By the time I realize we're still alive, we're both of us halfway down the driveway, running as if our lives depended on it, which they do.
And don't come back!
Oh, my God! She's crazy!
Don't stop running!
This time, we don't fool around with the barbed wire fence. We cross it in a single, bionic leap.
Quick into the car!
We get inside and drive like stink, until finally 2 miles down the road, convinced that Annie is safely behind us, we pull over.
Are you okay?
She must have been aiming over our heads.
We have to go back.
What?
I have a theory.
Michelle!
I think she's related to Archibald Dudley, maybe even his daughter. Why else would she have the exact same trunk that...
Michelle, it's a trunk. They were common.
Okay, what about the bagpipes?
What about them?
I bet she inherited the estate. Oh, my God, that's it. That's why nobody likes her, because she owns the entire valley.
Okay, 2 points. First, you've completely lost your mind. And second, I am not going back there.
Come on. What are you? Scared?
Yes.
Actually, I thought it was kind of exciting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of. Invigorating.
It could have. I'm driving. Michelle!
Oh, all right, you win. Take me home.
Okay.
Can't you drive any faster?
We don't exactly get much sleep that night.
And then, next morning, we're back in the cafe.
Morning, Verna.
Are you okay, Reverend? You look exhausted.
Oh, yeah, I was up late.
He was working on his sermon.
Well, I did a head count. 52 people.
This is exciting. Finally, I get a chance to really do my thing.
So are you just going to start talking?
I could introduce you, Reverend.
Good idea.
Maybe you should stand on your chairs or something.
Right, good. Okay.
Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Here goes nothing. Excuse me. Huh? Hello? Oh, you got it. Hi, everybody. Well, y'all know me. I'm Verna. And I want to introduce you to the new reverend, who most of you don't know, because none of you have been coming to church. And we just thought, well, there's more than one way to skin a cat, even though it's a Tuesday. Reverend, over to you.
Good morning. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what the heck is the reverend doing standing up on that chair? After all, as Verna said, it's Tuesday, and worse than that, you're thinking, what's he doing wearing that tractor cap? Anyway, I'd like to begin today with a little story. It's a story about a town, a quaint little town full of good folk, the kind of folk you'd really want to cross the street for. And these good folk enjoyed getting together for sustenance and fellowship in the local cafe. But the problem is, though they fed their stomachs, they did not feed their souls. They were lacking sustenance of a different kind and fellowship of a different kind. And I'm referring to spiritual fellowship and spiritual sustenance. And slowly the good folk of this town became hungry. They became starved. They became very, very thin. They became very noisy.
I can feel myself blushing bright red. It's one of those pathetic moments that you think about 10 years later and still get that feeling, you know, in the pit of your stomach. I've never been more humiliated.
Kevin, get down off the chair.
At first, I just stand there. I don't move.
Kevin, please.
And then I make a run for it.
Reverend!
Kevin, wait!
And I keep running all the way home, all the way back to the manse. And when I get there, I find Harold waiting for me on the front steps.
Morning, Reverend.
Harold.
Can I ask you something, Reverend? Just where did you two go last night?
What?
You and that girl. Where'd you drive to?
Look, Harold.
You made me a promise, Reverend. My books, that means something. Guess it don't mean nothing in your books.
Harold.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I don't want to hear it.
Please.
I told you to stay away from her.
Harold.
I don't want to hear it. Oh, and Reverend, don't be expecting me on Sunday, because I ain't going to be there.
Oh, Harold, wait. I'm sorry. Great. That's great. I go inside, head up to the bedroom, lie on the bed, and bury my face in the pillow. Which is where Michelle eventually finds me.
Kevin, are you okay?
I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, you know what? It wasn't that bad. I think you made a good impression.
Sorry?
No, I do. I, you know, a lot of people were listening.
You know what my problem is?
What?
I'm arrogant.
Kevin.
I think that I can do anything. I have no sense of... Oh, my God. I just preached a sermon in a cafe.
Now, calm down.
Calm down? What was I thinking? And last night, what was that? Do you realize what we did?
Kevin, it's...
We trespassed on that poor woman's property. I'm sure we scared her half to death. And I told you we shouldn't go. Didn't I tell you?
Kevin.
I made a promise to Harold. I mean, this is it. I am now officially a joke. I'm a punchline. I'm the restaurant reverend, the cafe Christian. Any hope, any prayer I ever had of making this work, this church, it's now officially dust. I mean, add it up. I can't preach worth a damn. I'm a liar, a trespasser, and here I am. Look at me. Look at me. I'm shacked up and living in sin, for Pete's sake.
What?
No wonder nobody takes me seriously.
Shacked up? Is that what you call this?
Well, how do you think it looks?
Who cares?
I do. I do. I care how it looks because I have a responsibility. I am supposed to be a minister, but I'm not. I'm just arrogant and stupid and prideful and full of stupid pride.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? I think this was a bad idea.
What?
I thought you were someone else. My mistake. Excuse me.
Wait, Michelle. Michelle!
She goes into the spare room.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's great. This is just great. Perfect!
And she stays there for the rest of the day. From time to time, I try to talk to her.
Michelle? Michelle, open the door.
But she doesn't. Stays in there all afternoon and all evening, sending out these waves of anger through the walls.
Michelle, I'm sorry. Michelle?
Eventually, I give up and go to bed. And lie there, thinking about how royally I've managed to screw things up. I decide to call Debbie in the morning and admit defeat. Get me out of here, I'll tell her. Take me to Manitoba. And then I think, no, I won't say that. This is what I'll say. I'll say, Debbie, I'll say, there's been a terrible mistake. I should never have gone into ministry. I don't have the stop, the integrity, the faith, the humility. And then I imagine a tragic scene with Michelle where I tell her I love her desperately, but that she's right. I am someone else, but I don't know who. And I have to go and find him, whoever he is, and then I drive away and watch her recede in the rear view, a lonely figure which blurs as my eyes fill up with tears. And then there's a scene with Harold where I apologize and he forgives me and begs me to stay, and one with Berna, and then another one with Michelle where she begs me to stay. And after all these conversations, I'm wide awake. And just as I'm about to turn on the light, I hear it. It's coming from outside. I move to the window and open it. And I can't believe what I see. An old woman is standing on the street in the moonlight, and she's singing Annie. She waves to me and motions to the front door.
It hasn't changed a bit.
Sorry?
Well, don't just stand there. Aren't you going to invite me in?
Oh, yes, sorry. Come in.
Don't worry. I left my shotgun at home.
That's okay.
We haven't been properly introduced. My name's Annie Dudley.
Oh. Hi. My name's Kevin.
Reverend Kevin.
Right. Yes.
Have you got any scotch whiskey?
Please, come in.
That's it. Good fella. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Well, go ahead then. Out with it.
Sorry?
You said you wanted to talk to me. So talk.
Did you say Dudley, Annie Dudley?
Mm-hmm.
So
Archibald Dudley was my father. Next question?
Really?
Let me ask you something. Are you married to that girl?
Michelle? No.
But you're sleeping with her?
Well, we...
What does she want with me?
She's doing some research. She thinks she might be descended from your father. For a moment, she just looks at me. Her eyes are gleaming.
She's a good-looking girl.
Who, Michelle?
Smart, too, I bet. Smart as a whip. You could do a lot worse, young man. You want my advice? Get married. Soon as you can. Don't let her slip through your fingers. All right? Thanks for the whiskey.
You're going?
Come and see me tomorrow. Bring the girl. Oh, and the trunk. You'll need this.
She places something in my hand.
I have a story to tell you.
And then she's gone. And I look down at my hand, and there, sitting on the palm, is a key.
The trunk.
I go upstairs, wake up Michelle, and tell her everything through the door. This time, she opens it.
I don't believe you.
It's true. Look what she gave me.
Oh, my God.
Come on, let's try it.
We rush back down to the dining room.
You do the honors.
Kevin, it fits!
Inside, we see... Well, we see these... They're like... There's some sort of, like, tube things, kind of brown, and they're like cylinders.
What are they?
I don't know. Here, feel.
Feels like wax.
Wait a minute. Huh. Wax cylinders, that's it. Remember when we were looking through Annie's windows and we saw this thing? It looked like an old record player?
Yes.
Well, it must have been a phonograph. And these are the cylinders. You play these. They're like early records. They're recordings.
Huh?
No, Kevin, you don't understand. These phonographs, they didn't just play. They recorded, too.
She invited us out there tomorrow. She told me to bring the trunk.
What else did she say?
She said, actually, she wanted to know about...
What?
Well, about you.
Me?
She told me...
What? What? Kevin, what did she tell you?
She said that I should hang on to you.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And what did you say?
I didn't say anything.
Hmm. Well, she's right. You should hang on to me.
I know.
In fact, you should hang on to me right now.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I don't know what we're going to hear tomorrow when Annie plays us these cylinders. If she even does. I mean, maybe it's a trap. A ruse to get us back out there. I mean, she missed us the first time. Maybe she wants to, you know, finish us off. But I don't think so. I think we're going to hear something incredible. Surprising. Something we never expected. I must admit, I'm curious. Because starting tomorrow, it finally looks as though we might be getting some answers.
That was Pride, Episode 6 of The Seven Deadly Sins, created and written by Greg Nelson. In the cast, Richard Side was Reverend Kevin, Bridget O'Sullivan was Verna, Lee Taylor was Harold, Gillian Fargy was Michelle, Patricia Harris was Debbie Reynolds, and Betty Phillips was Annie. Original music was composed by Brian Tate. The script editor was Dave Carley. The associate producer was Dagmar Kafunka-Nunn. The recording engineer was Chris Cutress. The Seven Deadly Sins was produced and directed in Vancouver by Kathleen Flaherty. The executive producer was me, James Roy. You can order The Seven Deadly Sins on CD. The cost is just $21 for one episode or $45 for the entire series of 7.5 hours. To order, you can phone 416-205-5966. Or you can email us at radiodramaoncd@toronto.cbc.ca. Or you can send a check payable to CBC to Radio Drama on CD, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Next week, the final episode of The Seven Deadly Sins. Things are pretty desperate at Dudley Church, and Reverend Kevin has 1 week to get 40 people in the congregation, or he'll be reassigned. That's the final episode of The Seven Deadly Sins 1 week from now.
You're tuned to CBC Radio 2, Classics and Beyond, in Ottawa at 103.3 FM.